Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Sarah Keewer.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moments so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello.
Oh, hello there.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Oh, thriving. Absolutely thriving.
Oh my God. Now, as you say that, I have a digger shoebox at home and I was doing some crying and on the tissue box, it says thrive.
No.
And I just thought like, why? Like, you're either sick or you're crying.
That is somebody with a really good sense of humor, though. Or you're wanking. You could have been wanking.
I don't wank with tissues.
I
do it with my hands.
You don't. How do you come? How do you get off?
How do you catch it?
Yeah. You got to catch it and display it.
Good.
I'm sorry, Lucas.
We always want to make sure that we get some kind of vagina.
Some kind
early.
Of cum joke up top.
Some kind of cum joke. I saw a guy on the way here with a t-shirt that said, I came on Eileen.
Oh my God. That is such an old t-shirt.
He was displaying that.
I had that. I bought that t-shirt 10 years ago. I actually think I went on a school trip. We came on a school trip to London. So I must have been in sixth form. I came all over the school trip. Now, yeah. That's how I got expelled. Went on a school trip to London when I was in sixth form. Mm-hmm. We went to Camden Market and I think there was I came on Eileen t-shirt and I almost bought it because that's the kind of sense of humour I had and still have.
That's what this guy had.
Yeah, well, I sold my t-shirt to him. I think you can thrive and cry. Sometimes I love a good cry. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you are usually crying though, aren't you? If you're having it or it's sick.
It just feels like it's making fun of you.
Yeah, it is. I think it's really funny. It's
like, and that thing is like, thrive.
Have you thought about thriving? Yeah. Though last year I was in an Uber and I didn't have a tissue and I was crying quite a lot. And I had to blow my nose on my face mask.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, I came on Eileen t-shirt.
I came on Eileen t-shirt. Yeah.
On your face mask. Yeah, that is not good, is it?
I had a face mask on and it was just getting completely destroyed. And I thought, you know what? In for a penny. I didn't wear it for the rest of the journey. I took it off after that. I didn't then sit there with the face mask on my face.
Yeah, thank God. That's disgusting.
Yeah, but it was a low point, I think.
Yeah, that sounds like a low point.
Yeah, and the face mask said thrive on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of thriving.
Go on.
I went on a sleeper train. That's my big news.
Yeah. You were in Edinburgh?
I went to Edinburgh for the weekend to do some gigs. I decided I wanted to come back on the Sunday night, and I saw that the sleeper train was available, so I booked myself a bougie ticket.
I'm so intrigued because I have seen it.
Yeah.
And I wanna hear what it's like.
The whole of Sunday, I felt like it was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I've never been more excited for a journey in my life. Mm-hmm. It left Edinburgh at 11:30 and I was doing two gigs, so my last gig ended at like 10:45. So I took myself over to the station.
God, that's so fun.
So
exciting. And then you're going home.
And you're going to bed and you're gonna wake up in a different city. And I was just so I got a room. I didn't just get
how long is it?
7 hours.
Oh, so it's longer than normal as well.
Longer than normal. But I guess you kind of want that because you don't want to, it would be annoying if you arrived at like
5 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. It's better that it's like a slower train so that you can have a night's sleep.
Yeah. And so it can like lull you to sleep.
Yes.
I'm picturing an old timey steam train.
Moving incredibly slowly. So I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh.
That's what I thought.
Uh-huh.
But it turns out it is still moving pretty fast.
Okay.
And you are being rocked about so much that it was not the nicest night's sleep I've ever had.
Come on.
It was cozy. The room was super cozy.
It's not like when you're in the back of the car, it's late at night.
Yeah.
And then your dad like carries you out of the car.
It was not like that.
Okay.
But I don't know whether I was too excited to sleep. And so maybe that, like if I'd been more tired or like slightly more calm or something, I think maybe if I'd just fallen asleep more quickly.
Yeah, you had a lot of adrenaline from the gig.
Yeah. And I was just giddy with the experience. So I got to a point where I was like, oh God, this could have been a terrible mistake, because there was a point where I thought, I'm not going to sleep at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a preemptive attempt to not get a 5-hour train, get off the train incredibly grumpy and be miserable for the rest of the day because I had stuff I needed to do the next day, I might have just robbed myself of an entire night's sleep.
Yes.
But I did actually sleep in the end, and it was great fun. I did have a good time.
Yes.
I recommend it as an experience.
Oh, I thought this was going to go like a...
No, I don't. I'd say lower your expectations when you do it, where you're like, oh, it's not going to be like...
How much more expensive is this train?
Oh, it's quite expensive.
Yeah, that's the problem. Why is it so expensive?
I think because the people who need it, right? Like, you're not...
Oh, like capitalism.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Like if you're commuting overnight, you don't really, you're like, I have to do the sleeper train. Like, or if you're like...
Or the bus.
Or the big bus, yeah.
The mega.
But then I guess you have to, have, presumably you can put significantly fewer people on a sleeper train than you can on a normal train.
Because
It's all bedrooms, but then there are seated bits where you sit like you're on a normal train, but the seats recline, like an airplane. But
don't recline your seat in an airplane.
Don't recline your seat in an airplane.
Don't do it.
I think they recline more than an airplane, but like they're like airplane seats.
Yeah. Have you ever been on an airplane and then someone's like, it's like the middle of the day, and someone's like, you know what? This is my time.
Yeah.
And they go all the way back. Like, it's ridiculous.
I was once in a long haul flight to Australia. There was a woman in front of me and reclined the seats immediately, the two seats in front of us, reclined them immediately. And I looked through the gap just to see what was going on. The smallest child I've ever seen in this seat, to the point where like their feet weren't actually going over the edge of the seat regardless.
Yeah, they would have been able to just...
And she had inflated a footrest for this child as well.
Oh.
This child, it didn't, was not necessary in any way, no. But like that would have been enough. But also there were two children and they could have just laid down next to each other on the seat. And I peeked through just because I was like, this is madness. So I looked through and this woman turned around to me and she went, my children need to go to sleep.
Oh!
And then I sat for 3 hours watching through the gap as these two children reclined watching television.
Yes, of course.
And I almost killed them all.
Yeah.
I almost killed several people.
Yeah.
I was furious.
And you would have been exonerated.
And the same flight, there was my partner at the time, me in the window and middle seat, and then a man that we didn't know on the aisle seat. Mm-hmm. And we were getting up at the same time to go to the toilet to make it least inconvenient for him. I think we went once, and then maybe an hour later we went again. And he turned around and went, "How many times are you going to go to the toilet?" And I was like, "As many times as I want to."
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because I was like, I'm not doing a fucking 8-hour flight thinking I'm not allowed to go to the toilet because of this prick.
Yeah. Oh, I would have been intimidated and gotten a UTI.
I was like up to boiling point.
That's
of fury
amazing
about
I'm,
all of these
that's,
people.
That's good. That's good.
I've been on
some flights where I'm like, should I say something? And I never do.
I always say something. I'm completely out of control.
God, I need some of this energy. I need some of your energy, Sarah, because like the one time when I went to Australia and I was sat next to a guy who was a sheep shearer from New Zealand, and he spent the entire time showing me sheep shearing videos on his phone.
Mickey, no.
Yes. On his phone. He spent the entire trip showing me sheep shearing. And like, it was like, and he went into a lot of detail.
He wanted to see how long you'd take it for.
I don't know what kind of prank this was, but he went into a lot of detail. Also, it was like a long time ago, so the videos were not good quality. And it was a lot
sheep
of like him. And
you
he was
can't
like,
even tell it's a sheep.
He was like, and then you lift up the sheep and then you go the balls. And it was just like, it was so detailed.
That man
like,
is too into his job,
it was,
isn't he?
He was so... That was
on his
though
day off.
To be honest, he was very into the job.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he'd just been to England to do some sheep shearing in Scotland.
Oh, he wanted
to. He'd been to England to go to Scotland. Yeah. He'd just been to the UK to go and do some sheep shearing in Scotland because he was actually a bit of an expert.
International sheep shearer.
Yeah. And he was doing what I can only describe as a TED talk for me.
Well, I think you're lucky to have somebody
I had an expert
with that expertise.
Listen, it was so long.
It sounds real long.
It was really long.
And you didn't say anything. You didn't assert yourself in any way. You just listened and watched.
I was 20 years old.
Oh,
a man was speaking.
Oh, Mickey, Mickey. What am I going to do?
A man was speaking. Not just a man, an expert.
I am so irate. I'm always so irate. I will say something every single time. We went to a party. Like,
what would you have said to this man?
I had said, "I'm going to put my headphones in. I really appreciate your sheep shearing videos, but I'm going to go and put my headphones in and not talk to you for a bit."
Well, I don't know any of those words.
I've never
so
heard
how could I have said that?
I went to a party with Louisa like last year or like the year before, and there was a woman there who, it was a friend, Louisa's friend, and then there was a woman there who was friends with them, and I hated her. Mm. I hated her so much. Ooh. She was really obnoxious, really rude. The person whose party it was had made a load of food and they'd made it all gluten-free because Louisa was coming. It was really, really nice. And somebody mentioned this at the party and this woman was like, she was like, "Ugh, I hate gluten-free food. It always tastes like sand. My friends are celiac and I, one time, just as a joke, I just shoved a load of gluten in my mouth." And I was like, that's a really fucking irresponsible thing to do. And I said that to her and Louisa kind of put her hand on my leg and was like, "Calm down." And I was like,
I love this. Yeah. And I was like, I love this. It's just like Louisa going, "Oh, Sarah's going to kick off."
And I was like furious at her. And I was like, "Why are you being so rude about the food here? Why are you being rude about celiacs? Why are you being like, why are you being so dismissive about this? Why are you like this?" And I was so angry.
Louisa put her hand on your mouth.
She put her hand on my mouth. And we left the party and I was like ranting about how much I hated this woman. And then recently that friend whose party it was came over to our flat and this person got brought up and she was like, "Oh my God, Sarah, she really fancied you." And I was like, what? I was like, I hated her.
Oh, that
I hated her so much. And and she was like, "Yeah, that's just kind of how she flirts." And I was like, I can't.
She has some issues.
Yeah. I was like, I can't fathom that entire situation.
I cannot fathom that either.
Yeah. It really reframed
the
whole night.
Because I've seen you angry and I don't know how that's attractive.
It's not sexy. It's not sexy at all. Yeah.
You're like actually angry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Furious. And I'm quite stern. Yeah. Turns out she was into it. So I got her number now.
Yeah, not a big deal.
I'm going to call her.
Yeah.
And be like, you're a piece of shit.
You're a piece of shit.
You're welcome.
She's going to come on the spot.
On the spot. All over the fudge.
Okay, yeah. Now that we've bookended this this preamble with come,
yes.
Should we get a guest in?
We should. Our next guest is Jess Foster Q,
yes.
Fantastic comedian, incredible talent, podcaster, actor, writer, powerlifter. Is there anything she cannot do?
She can do everything.
She can do everything.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. I hope she powerlifts me.
In this podcast.
Okay, throws we'll me see. Over her shoulder, spins me on her finger.
Great. Let's
that
go.
That felt a bit sexual.
Let's get her in.
Let's get her in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode. Jess Foster Q.
Hiya.
Thank you so much for coming
hey,
in.
Thanks for having me. What a great podcast idea.
Thank you.
Really lovely.
Thanks so much. That's, nobody's ever said that before.
Including
I've
me.
Enjoyed, like, yeah.
People come in, they pick holes in the premise. They what? Go, oh, everything's a sliding door
yeah,
moment.
That is true.
But you've come in here with compliments.
Well, that's a different podcast called Butterfly Effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boring.
Boring.
That. No,
it's so
pick
silly.
Pick one.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah,
pretend it's science.
And also, we're not experts. We don't know anything.
No.
We're just trying to have a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah. Good, thanks.
Good.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love your t-shirt.
Oh, thanks
it
so much.
It says Taco Bell.
Yeah. I've got fond childhood memories of visiting an uncle in America and having a Taco Bell when I was 9.
Right.
Blowing my little English bumpkin mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd never had anything so delicious in the world. I thought it was high-end, sweet, sweet, great stuff. And then it didn't exist in the UK for a long, long time. And I was aware there was one or two in London, but I hadn't loved it so hard that I needed to do a pilgrimage.
If
and
this
then...
is why you moved to London, it is my favourite story. Yeah,
if only. No.
Always chasing the Taco Bell.
Long story short, one opened at the end of my road, pretty much. Like about less than what? 10 minutes walk from my house.
After a lengthy campaign.
Yeah, underneath the Travelodge. I think that often happens. I think they might have a little bit of a deal going with Travelodge. Swanky. I was so excited about it. I talked about it so much. I infuriated my family to the extent that my girlfriend went to New York for work and found this t-shirt and bought it for me.
Oh, that's really nice.
But then also the other thing that was torturing me was that particular Taco Bell took like a year and a half to open. I don't know what was going on there. Bit stop-starty on the old interior design.
Oh, but you knew
work.
It was coming.
Oh, if it had gone bust after all that It had been there kind of nearly ready to open for so long.
Oh, a dangling bell.
But when it did open, the week it opened, we went on a date there. I wore my t-shirt.
Yes! Wait, you wore your t-shirt?
I wore my t-shirt. I've since worn it to other very high quality independent Mexican restaurants.
Oh my God.
Do they pair in comparison?
And that's how she's banned from every Mexican in town.
But what we loved most about the date to Taco Bell was it was the first time we've ever as a couple been out for dinner and not even taken our coats off.
Yes. Sit there in your coats.
Yes, that's amazing. Patrick, my boyfriend, we love Pizza Express.
Yeah, we love it.
And you know what?
In a weird way.
No, you're not going to convince me that this is a better restaurant. This one has an app. You can earn pizza points.
They reward your loyalty.
Yeah, you become a bronze member, silver member. Patrick's 2 pieces away from a gold membership.
What the flip? I didn't know that was a thing.
It's very exciting.
And then he becomes the pizza king.
Yeah.
There's a coronation coming up.
There's a special coronation for that.
It's very exciting.
Does Taco Bell have an app?
I'm not going to say no, but I haven't looked into it. Here's hoping.
Oh, I bet
it's
us.
I'm going to make a little note to have a look after the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. Okay, great.
If it does, I want in.
Yes.
So this is a podcast about life-changing moments.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a big dweller? Do you dwell on the things that could have or did change your life?
I've got a few things that I think about relatively often. I mean, I revisit trauma quite often.
Yes.
And I do some kind of like, I trauma forward sometimes. Do you ever get that?
Ooh.
So I'll do a thing where, and I've done this ever since I was a kid where this is so bleak, but I will fully start to like imagine, it's often like if I'm driving or something, but I will imagine that someone I really love has died and I will like properly begin to grieve, like big heaving, crying.
I do this.
In real life, they're absolutely fine.
Yeah, I do this. Yeah. And then I start crying.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, where have
what
I...
What am I doing?
You've done this.
Where have I gone?
Because you've created this
one
narrative.
One day you inevitably will have to cope with that. I think it's like I don't want to go in unpracticed.
Yeah.
I think it's your body doing that.
I've had quite a few recurring dreams recently that my girlfriend Louisa leaves me for someone else.
Right.
And last night I dreamt it and I made a full plan of what I would do.
Right. In your dream?
Yeah.
And or afterwards when you woke up?
No, in the dream. Right. And I woke up this morning and I told Louisa about it and I was like, but it's kind of okay this time because I think I'd know what I would... how I would cope. And she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Why are you saying all this to me? I was like, I think I'd just like concentrate on myself and my health and I'd go to the gym with Ruby a lot. Like, I think it would free up a lot of time. And she was like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Just stop saying these things to me.
Yeah,
yeah, I was like, that sounds good. Yeah, now that I think about it. So yeah, that's very relatable content.
Yeah.
Do you have one that you imagine the most? Who are you killing off the most?
Oh, I'm in a parent.
That's awful.
Yeah. I don't quite let myself go there with my son. I think that's been too much, even for my imagination.
Oh, how kind of you.
Yeah.
Really how gentle.
I wouldn't do that even to myself in an imaginary way. I think probably the most recurring one is if I'm driving, I quite often sort of see accidents everywhere, even though they're not going to happen. But I think that's like, that's made me a very cautious driver. Mm. I was quite gung-ho as a young driver. And now I'm like, no, careful, no, oh, careful. And like on a bike, if I cycle anywhere, I audibly do that. Like even if I'm on a 5-minute cycle, a minimum of 5 times, I'll shout out loud, please don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. And I'm
I
don't even turn right. I don't put my hand out to turn right. I get off the bike and cross the road as a pedestrian.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I've basically become a little bit scared as a road user.
I think we should mic you up when you're cycling. We should get a little camera and a little mic.
Yeah, that
and then we
go,
can hear your like in your narrative as you're...
Don't kill me.
Stop.
Yeah. Mm.
Very good.
Amazing. Have you ever...
Oh, yeah.
No, you go. No, you go.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have a big near miss experience?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever had a near death experience that I knew about.
Oh,
but I do wonder in the world. Yeah. Do you ever have that where you're like, I've got to have been a few. Thinking about
for sure.
You were in your head, but actually.
And I think, you know, in my mind, there are a few. Oh, it's really hard to choose. I could either do a PE one. Or a bus stop one.
I feel like the listeners should know that Jess has brought notes.
Yeah.
Really detailed.
And that it's neat.
And that it's nerd.
No, I love it so much.
Okay.
I love it so much.
Some idiots come in here and they don't know what they're doing.
Oh.
So it's really nice to have somebody sorted.
Really? Yeah. Absolutely.
It's refreshing, actually.
Okay, no, great.
I absolutely love it. Go ahead.
Okay, I want their names,
but... I think the new PE one was, there's a bit of, like, drama to it. But, so I really love weightlifting. I have done for a bit, but I joined a new gym in the summer of the first lockdown because it was at the end of my road.
Next to the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Horrible place for a gym, isn't it?
It's smelly. Anything. Or, if anything... Inspirational.
Inspirational.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what you're working for.
Yeah. but yeah, so what happened was, I had previously to this joining this gym done lots of powerlifting. So I had one weightlifting belt, which was like really big, chunky. It's almost like an inch thick, this thing. And it's got like a big metal clip on it. It's quite like industrial. And it was gifted to me by like a strongman powerlifter, or like the bit, there's a bit that goes under it. It's like full kit. And this gym was like, it's a CrossFit gym and I'd openly be bullied for this belt. Fine. But I just hadn't got to the point where I was prepared to spend money on a new, much thinner one that CrossFit has used.
Because I hate on and off thought,
hey, you would be bullied for it.
Not, you know, in a joshing way.
Oh, in a, banterous gym
gosh,
way.
Gosh, that's one hell of a belt. Yeah. Whoa. Crumbs. Isn't look at the girth on that belt. That kind of
thing. Yeah. And you go,
but also, it is a silly belt, like that's not quite what you'd use in that sport.
Right,
like I'd
taken
the belt from one sport to another sport. It's relevant. and then this is entirely my fault, just to so that nobody thinks I should be suing my gym. I had never really learned, because I'd only ever squatted. That's where the barbell's like on your back, and you basically sort of, with your chest up, you sit down with the weight on your back and then you stand back up again. And you, as long as your knees go below parallel, that's it. You've done the squats, right? And so I'd only ever squatted really heavy with a trainer up until this point. And so if you need to bail, they basically take it off your back for you. I'd never, ever learned how to fail myself. you can see where this is going. So
we're both
at this
so
point,
tense
the most I'd ever squatted, right, was like 120 kilograms. But that had been after quite a rogue personal trainer in my past had given me a very strong pre-workout, which had basically made me off my tits for a good 12 hours. Mm. And with two people spotting me. So that was, I was working off those percentages. So we then were maxing out in the context of this new gym. We just maxed out two other lifts. So I was tired and I was like a bit distracted. Then my son and his dad walked past the gym as we're warming up to test our one rep max back squat. So in the middle of the warm up, I go outside for like 10 minutes to talk to my family. They walk on and I come back. And obviously at that point, everybody's already testing much higher numbers because they've just had 10 more minutes of warming up. And I was like, right, okay, I better jump up a bit. So I put 110 kilograms on my bar, which I now know in retrospect is an arrogant leap up from what's been 100 or something on there before. With my head completely not in it, really, you need to be so focused. I think one of the things I love about weightlifting is it forces you to be incredibly grounded and present in your body. It's like the opposite of long distance running or swimming, all those things where you're meant to sort of lose your essence of space and time. With what I love doing, it's because it centers you and you have to be focused. You're not going to make the lift unless your head is entirely and confident as well. And I knew as I was walking the barbell back from the rack that this was a silly, I just don't know why I did it. And here's the kind of near miss bit. So I do the negative, I get down. As I'm going down with such weird caution that I know I'm not going to make it. For a lift like that to work, you need to go down at least to the second half of the decline needs to be with a bit of speed because you use the bounce back out of the bottom of your squat to come back up. So I knew at the bottom of it that I was stuck. I'd never, ever learned how to bail properly. You're meant to let go of the bar and like squeeze your shoulders back and tip your knees forward so that you fall forward and the bar falls back. I let go of the bar.
Oh God.
With 110 kilograms on it. And I didn't push it back or myself forward. So it went straight down and it got caught on this chunky ass belt.
Oh no!
And bent my back.
Oh dear.
So my back was arched back round. And I think in that exact moment, I had a choice of ankle or back. Like, what do I sacrifice? And I went ankle.
Yeah, of course. Good choice.
And Yeah, I badly sprained my ankle, I didn't break my back.
Yes, that's probably the best case scenario there.
Yeah, and that felt like, a really massive near miss.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's not
that like... That was so stressful reliving that with you.
Did everyone stand over you like, it is a really silly belt?
Yeah.
It is a silly belt, that.
That's when they bullied you the most.
Yeah. I gave the belt away. I will never wear that belt again for any lift.
No, that is.
Also, it isn't... It wasn't the right fit. I now know I've got a belt. It's meant to be painfully tight, basically, a belt. Otherwise, it's not really doing anything.
Mm.
And there were just so many things wrong about it. I mean, the payoff is I didn't break my ankle, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because that could take years to get better. But there have been all these, I don't know.
Did it land on your ankle then?
No, it was that I had to, twist to get out from underneath of it. Which, again, if that weight had landed with any force on my Achilles, that would have made me fucked. Mm. There are so many ways in which... And now, I mean, I'm obsessed with PE. It brings me so much joy. It brings me so many ways of achievement in terms of, the things in my life. That
mm-hmm.
And that what it... I think I'm 100% in terms of mental health addicted to it. It's at the moment something I would be so miserable if I wasn't able to do.
Yeah.
I did a Tough Mudder last weekend and I just hobbled around it like a nana because I didn't want to hurt myself so that I could carry on just with my normal PE.
Yeah.
And that's not really the spirit of things.
You're supposed to throw yourself out.
No, I like it.
And so now I'm all the other people that did the Tough Mudder are covering bruises and I'm I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine.
I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah.
But you do kind of need a humbling experience mm-hmm. in those kind of gym environments when you're dealing with that much weight. It's when you hear about these guys at the gym who've done themselves serious injuries because they think, I can fucking do that. And the more success you have.
To watch people go beyond their, go heavy before they know what they're doing.
It is a bit of you have to have a tiny ego death.
Yes, an ego death is a lovely way of putting it.
Before being able to do it properly.
Also, this is so boring, but one thing I don't think enough personal trainers or gyms coach their clients in how to bail safely on their own.
It's not boring. That's what this podcast is all about.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Like that stuff. Exactly. Serious health and safety.
Okay, leave it with us. We'll put that right.
Good, okay.
Write that one down in the show notes.
Just write down the address and we'll go down there.
Daddy Pure Gym.
That's what we do a second half of this podcast where we solve people's problems.
We picket line outside.
Yeah. I feel like I've done a really boring gym story because my other one was I was at a bus stop once. So I'll do it quickly.
Do it.
Absolutely.
I was at a bus stop once. It's nighttime. And I was, again, cocky 20s, probably. Heavily drunk.
What kind of belt did you have on?
No belt. Trousers around my knees.
What? Oh my God.
Yeah, ready to find love. Okay,
yeah, this is the kind of story I want.
Now we're cooking. And a man is at the bus stop with me, gets to the bus stop with me, chit-chatting. Genuinely, I think about the weather. Something's not 100% right about him.
Yeah. He thinks it's raining, it's not.
I live nearby. He's asking, he was like, God, it's weird, it's this quiet at the bus stop, isn't it? And I was like, feeling increasingly less comfortable.
Very unsafe.
And he was like, have you seen, and he was looking around a lot. I don't think he was particularly interested in me, but he was very aware that I was there. Anyway, and a policeman walks, in a way you'd barely have noticed him there, round a corner. And says, hello, mate, to the bloke as he passes in the most casual way. And the man goes, all right, like that. And then in a move, I have never seen anything like it, the policeman managed to take the man's leg out, reach down behind him and pulled a fucking machete out the man's back pocket.
What?
You're joking.
He basically had a tip off from that man's wife that he'd gone out to kill to revenge kill two teenagers who had robbed him of his phone.
What?
But he'd gone out with a knife and he was off his face and his wife had phoned the police gone, because she'd rather that he gets found now with a knife than get caught later having done
murdered
the killings.
Two teenagers.
Yeah.
What a good wife.
I know, but I was like, I've just been stood at the bus stop for 10 minutes with a man with a big machete in his
pocket. That's terrifying.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Also, ninja police. It's that's the coolest thing I've ever seen a police person do.
Yeah, that is really cool. Yeah. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. Pew! Shing. That was the bit with the knife.
I like to think he threw you the machete, went, hold this.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing he did really go. Yeah. But yeah, he also did the thing where he managed to cuff the man or chop the knife behind him and have his foot on the knife. Oh God, the man was
in case
ninja.
You grabbed it.
He's like half police, half ninja, half daddy long leg.
That's like, it's like when you see like police officers in a film.
Yeah.
And you're like, they're not like that. I've seen them. But they are.
Oh, this guy on Lehigh Road was. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I like to think that he had an offer of like, oh, should we all go? Like, they were down the station and he was like, should you want us to go with you? And he was like, nah, I'm fine.
I got it.
I got it.
He's got Batman on this.
I've been doing some gymnastics classes.
Yeah.
And I really want to test out a particular move.
Yeah. Really it's good. That, isn't it? I've got some choreography to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and it's one to amazing. One only.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's crazy. Nothing like that's ever happened to me.
Do you think about that a lot? Does it sort of cross your mind?
I hadn't thought about it for years until thinking about this podcast.
Mm.
That's why I love things like doing this.
Yeah. It's a wild story.
An ancient memory. Like that.
Because you were arrogant and in your 20s, did you appreciate at the time how much danger you were in?
Yeah.
You did?
Well, afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a little think about it.
When you saw the giant machine.
But it didn't stop me. Well, I still wouldn't. I think I don't feel unsafe walking around at night. I don't think that's ever been. But now I look back and go, well, sometimes you probably weren't safe.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think the machete incident in a permanent state of high alert out and about. Mm. You know,
that way even at night.
No,
really.
But you know,
when you're
by
yourself.
Yeah, I've often worked. I still do work jobs that requires walking home or having a bit of a walk in the night.
You're not completely ignorant to the danger, though.
That's not what I don't think, and I don't think. Oh, I could take them. I think there are. This may be irrelevant, but like I've never been someone who particularly gets catcalled, or I don't like, even at my youngest and hottest, I've never been trawled by men.
Right.
Attention wise.
Right.
And that's almost like the massive silver lining of not being a classic looker. Is that you don't walk around in a constant state of, get off.
Yeah.
Think that's part of it.
I have the same. It's just not, you know.
I get creeps talk to me, but they'll be really,
tiny
really
and,
old.
And
men.
Blonde. And,
yeah, you can take them.
I can take them.
Yeah. But I do think, like, I do think, I'm fine at night if I just I'm on the high roads.
Mm-hmm.
But I do often think, you know, when you're walking somewhere, you've never been there before, Google's like determined to send you through a park.
Mm hmm. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, it's also, Google Maps is designed by the murderers.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want my phone out.
No.
Yeah.
That makes me feel like on high alert. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how am I supposed to get there? The only way, it seems, is through this giant park.
Yeah, it's like if Google Maps was like, just heads through the dark wood.
Yeah.
Past the spooky,
and then if you
the
take this
tunnel,
and if you take this underpass, how is it the only
abandoned
way?
Train track and the disused factory?
But it drives me crazy that Google doesn't have a safe walking option.
It should have one.
It really is mad.
That again, right? So we need to talk to Daddy Pure Jim, and we need to talk to Mrs. Google Maps.
Yeah,
for sure.
Wait, was this a Pure Jim?
No.
I was just about to say, I feel like you're going to like fancier.
I'm just punching up.
I feel like you go to fancier gyms than Pure Gym.
I'll go to, an independent, what is it? I don't know.
Give the address,
And what time do you go there?
The gym.
We want to instill a bit of fear in you.
Opposite the Pure Gym. People will be able to find this.
Yeah,
no problem.
I don't think I've ever seen a machete in real life. Sorry, just to go back to that.
Yeah.
They're big, aren't they?
Whoppers.
Big old thing.
How did he have this in his back?
Big, like,
pocket.
You two are probably too young, but I recognized his jeans from my own teens because we had a phase of wearing, they were called like Spiffy X or Keep Off the Grass, like horrendously baggy jeans with basically half pocket down to the mid leg.
Oh, yeah.
Pockets. Oh,
very baggy jeans. Big baggy jeans.
From but they're the back, 90s? No?
Probably.
They were made for machete carrying, weren't they? That's the whole advertising campaign was, standing at the bus stop, having to hold your own machete, get spiffy jeans. That was the vibe.
Yeah. Who needs bags with pockets like this? Yeah. Who needs sheaths?
Yeah. Sheaths are such a thing of the past.
But were they
literally are.
Were they the ones where you had the chains? They had the chains
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but a few couple of chains. Some of them had a few chains in the back. Yeah.
Mm. These people were cool.
Really yeah. cool stuff. Very cool. Did you say that? Did you say, I think you're really cool when he was being arrested?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, I just fancied the policeman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because of the ninja skills.
Yeah, I would. I don't think there's any... Yeah, there's any way to like...
I think I would have fancied him, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I mean. It's like... Yeah.
This is an incredibly attractive act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Despite the fact that you're like, okay, we're not supposed to be like in love with this idea of a big, amazing man like rescuing you.
Sometimes it is nice.
Sometimes
it's lovely.
Well, it also comes down to like, if it turns out the man next to you has got a machete... Whoever saves me, it will be nice. Yeah, anyone yeah. is allowed. Anyone. Didn't have to be a yeah, big yeah,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah. Anyone would get a boner from me.
Yeah,
we would get it.
Absolutely, anyone would get a boner from me. Especially as I haven't got my belt on. So careful. That's the only thing holding my trousers up.
That's a wonderful story. Two wonderful stories.
Thanks. Sorry, I doubled up. I do struggle with choosing.
No, it's good. No,
because this got us. The boner is the only thing holding my trousers up. And I think that's just wonderful. Like, thanks, Jess.
You're welcome.
thanks for coming on and saying that to us.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thanks for letting me.
Do you have a sliding doors yeah, moment?
I do. There's absolutely no science behind this at all, obviously, because it's a sliding doors moment, but I am 100% sure of a thing. Ooh. So when me and my friends were all choosing what universities we were going to apply to, I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what I wanted to study or anything like that. And I now look back with a bunch of, not regrets, but I think I made... The choices I made then did definitely, obviously, impact what happened in my life. At A-level, I really loved humanities, like history and English and stuff like that. But I was under this weird impression that if I did study one of those at university, that I sort of float around aimlessly for a decade after uni. So I did some law because it was more vocational and applied, but still had a bit of those things in it.
Mm-hmm.
So once I knew that's what I was going to try, so the irony is, obviously, I did a law degree and never used it.
I was going to say
that was going to happen.
Just meant I got some pretty high-end temping in those early years of comedy, but that's literally all it's ever been useful for.
Such a pressurized time in a person's life.
It's horrible. And it's also, I mean, no offense to any ultra-confident 17 and 18-year-olds, this thing, but you don't really know who you are then. You say, well, I think I've been through about 8 different full personality changes.
I think the confident ones are the ones that know the least. I mean, it's full so offense true. To you, actually.
I'm like, you don't mind.
No, not. I was just looking at you for agreement.
Not a confident 17-year-old, I don't think.
Wasn't suggesting that at all. You have the confidence of a 17-year-old. At the age of 33.
Oh, no, it hurts because it's true.
But it's awful. It's an awful thing
it's
to go.
Awful.
Yeah.
You have to make these
your
decisions.
Destiny now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So I think yeah. I have the, so I basically I grew up in a very small town in Dorset. I knew I wanted to move at least to a big city. I got an unconditional offer from Canterbury. And I went to look at it and was like, I don't want to go here. It was like all on one.
Unconditional offer.
I know. But then what motivation is that for you to actually try when it comes to the exams?
Surely there are conditions to that offer.
No. They really, really wanted the money of people filling the course.
Oh, that makes sense. But you could have failed every single subject and still gone to Canterbury.
Let me in after that,
I have no idea what's happening.
So
oh, really?
Yeah. Occasionally people, I mean, it would happen. It felt quite rare.
Based on your predicted grades.
Right.
Sometimes, or like perhaps some other impressive shit you've done. These days people kind of, they've done extraordinary things by 17, 18. But like, sometimes universities can give you an unconditional offer so that regardless of what your actual grades
you've
are.
Got and it's such a wonderful thing. Character. Or, yeah, you've achieved something where they go, we just want somebody like you at this university.
What? So then you can fail all your exams.
And still get that.
I presumably they do it. They only give unconditional offers to people where they're like, but you are obviously the kind of personality where you're going to try your best to do your best.
That's amazing. And then Canterbury.
But the problem
is that impressive?
No.
Okay. Oh God, that is a dangerous thing to
say.
So Canterbury is a really pretty place, but like it's a campus university. So it felt like I'd have been going to like the Butlins of learning. Like, but it's all in one place. Outside of the university.
It's actually
quite sleepy, beautiful, but like ye olde people, pretty, just like where I've just grown up.
Not the bright lights, like, not big the, like, city that you were hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've only just started, I've been here for almost 10 years, but it's still taken so long for me to understand what the difference is between any of these universities. Like, I get like the Oxbridge thing, obviously, but then there's Redbrick and I'm like, I'm so confused.
Mm. It's just, yeah, some are...
Russell Group, blah, blah, blah. There's all these different hierarchy stuff.
But I feel like I get it, yeah.
I feel like now there's absolutely fuck all point in having told you about that Canterbury stuff. It's got nothing to do with my...
We can cut that out, it's fine.
But it's good to brag about that unconditional, isn't it?
Please do cut that out. Yeah, basically, I didn't really know where I wanted to go other than that I desperately, really, really wanted to go to Bristol. I thought Bristol was cool. It was like a perfectly unfrightening distance away, but really big, massive, buzzing city compared to the village I'd grown up in. It was like a couple of hours away. So it was a big break, but like I could probably get, you know, in an emergency, get home quite easily.
I get that, yeah.
It was a really good university for law. And I had, anyway.
Cool, innit?
Second choice. I didn't want to go to, I didn't even apply to Oxford or Cambridge. I didn't like the vibe. I'm too scruffy. Yeah,
that's why I didn't apply either.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't bother. Vibe's a bit off there. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Vibe's off. No, thank you. I said. No,
not
thanks.
For me. I'd have been rejected as well. Okay. Let's be clear.
As a relief.
Now knowing what the grades I did get, I'd have been rejected.
I'd have rejected you from Canterbury.
I didn't know what to put, even a second choice, let alone third, fourth, or fifth. So I just copied my friend Sally, who'd applied to LSE.
London School of Economics.
Yes, and political science.
Ooh!
And Bristol, and I was predicted better grades than I got. And Bristol rejected me outright. And that outright. Means even if you got four A's.
That's the opposite of an unconditional.
Yep. It's exactly. Even if you got four A's, they would, and you could go, look, I got even better than I was predicted. Yeah. They'd be like, we said no.
So were you predicted A's and stuff?
I think I was predicted three A's and a B.
Yeah.
And then I did an AS in French, but I can't do
it. Because it must be awful if you're predicted like all A's or something like that.
Yeah,
and they go, no, thanks. This is a personality thing.
Yeah. But this is it. Unless you were predicted all A's, it was going to be a no from the school. I was coming up from a rural comprehensive. So it wasn't. It was before
it's
the time
a class
where.
Thing.
Yeah, but it, yes. It was also before the time. I think now there's joyfully and good news quotas to fill and an eye on diversity and inclusion, whereas it wasn't in
2001. I'm so old.
So in the end, I ended up at LSE a year before my friend who I was copying, who took a gap year. And I have this absolute surety, even though it's based on nothing, that because I absolutely everybody in my life now, including obviously via those consequences, my son, you know, all my friends, apart from the few left from school, they're all as a consequence of the halls I was in as soon as I got to London. The first house I lived in, the next house I lived in, the first job I got, the first side hustle job I got when I was at uni. I met my son's dad when I was 19. Like, all those ripples went on to create the life I have now. Whereas in my mind, I felt completely sure that if I'd gone to Bristol, I'd be a lawyer now.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
I just don't think if I hadn't been in London, I'd have had, at that time, what felt like a life where I could go, I'm going to finish the degree. It is interesting. But now, even though I've finished that whole degree on a thing, I'm going to see what else there is option-wise. Mm. I felt so grown up by the time it was all over and happy living with a group of friends. And I'd worked in a coffee shop that by the time I graduated, they offered if I wanted to have a full-time job there managing it, like I think it was 13 grand or something. Mm. But I was like, yeah, that would cover my shared rent at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Can you imagine trying to live in London on 30 grand? But anyway, like,
you just fell
like,
into this.
Oh, I can. Yeah. I love this whole life. And I've already fallen in love with Southeast London by then. I was like, yeah. And that's just so bizarre that I feel completely confident that I'd have gone, okay, I'll be a
Yeah. To be a barrister then.
It was like that you fell into the current of that life and you just sort of meandered along.
Whereas
with it.
I just think, because actually, it's not that wildly different if you're a barrister like yourself. Employed, it's really competitive if you want to do one of the most interesting parts of it, like, you know. So I just think I'd have gone down that road.
Oh, you'd have been a very funny barrister though, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
It would have been a laugh to see.
A very emotional barrister, I think. So that might have been funny for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing to do. Yeah. Is that you have to kind
you're
of
you're not allowed to sort of constantly bring up your healing traumas. As you are as a comic.
You're not meant to explore this.
But
do you know
amazing,
something my
it?
Dad said to me as a child?
Your Honour.
Where can people locate you if they wanted to locate you?
Yeah.
At social media. That's my hashtag.
How are you spelling that?
At Jessica Foscue on everything.
On everything?
Well, I'm not on TikTok. I'm 40 this year.
Healthy
Instagram
choices.
Healthy choices.
Anything you want to plug?
My podcast, please, may you listen to my podcast, Hoovering. It's all about eating.
And Sturdy Girls?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Sarah.
No worries. I've got you.
I've got a series on Radio 4 that's on BBC Sounds called Sturdy Girl Club. And it's all about weightlifting, which sounds so niche, but I've put in an extraordinary amount of effort to make it accessible to anyone, regardless of whether you're interested in weightlifting, and to make it funny, not just Radio 4 funny.
It's very funny. It's very good. Recommend it.
Recommend.
Thanks. Highly.
Big recommend for
thanks.
Both.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Jess.
Thanks for having me.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Jess Foscue, everybody.
That was Jess Foscue. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, really good.
Really good.
We got a bunch of stories there.
We've not had a machete story yet, so that was thrilling.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We should be hoping for more machete stories.
Fingers crossed. Go out and buy machetes, guys. This podcast is sponsored by machetes.
By machetes. Mm. So please, guys, what do we want them to do? Sign up to our Patreon.
You
get ad-free content.
Ad-free, longer episodes, and extra bonus videos. Live footage of us speaking. Not live footage. It's not live. It's never live.
It's not live.
We're not there the whole time.
But it is. We've started doing this extra bit where it's called What Made You Cringe?
Yes. And the cringes are cringy.
They are good. Yeah, they are good. So you get some extra lovely extras there.
We're appreciating all of your messages. Thank you so much for emailing.
Oh, we've
and
got some lovely messages.
Sending nice things. Yeah. Real nice.
And makes us love. Keep loved.
Keep rating us. Keep rating us online.
Yes.
We've had some more ratings. Good ones.
It's
rate
really
us. Rate
good.
Us highly. Please don't rate us.
Guys, please keep rating us. It really makes a difference because it makes us higher in the suggestions and stuff.
And it makes us feel good.
And it makes us come.
And it makes us come.
So,
and we love to come. We love to come. Throw us a quick come.
Why wouldn't you want that?
Chuck us a come, mate.
So do that. Come see us live. Come see us live. I have a preview coming up that I want people
live
to come
see
to.
Us come. Sorry,
get ready for this. I want people to come to this because people will be coming to, like, you know, when people like from your agency come to see it.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, this will be the worst one.
For sure.
It always is. You're, people will come and they're like, is that what you...
It's like when you've been doing a thing and then you go, oh my God, come and look at this. Come see this.
So that's on the 29th of May, which is a bank holiday Monday.
Oh, lovely.
And it's a lovely 5 p.m. show.
Where?
At the Bill Murray. It's going to be a lovely time if people come.
If you come, please. Yeah.
So come to that.
Big come fest.
Anything you want to plug?
Why are we so into come this day?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just happened.
Something in the water. Probably come. I don't think I got anything. I'm always around, thinking about.
Okay.
You know how it is.
So that. And that's it, I think.
Love you.
Thank you so much. We love you.
We love you so much.
And we will... No, you will hear us next time.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth and produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Kavanagh.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.